All right, welcome back to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going deep on a case that really set a precedent for understanding obligations in, these shared communities that, well, a lot of us live in.
Yes, definitely.
Seaview Association, View Williams, and specifically for folks tuning in, especially if you're, really getting into the weeds of property law or maybe find yourself dealing with an HOA. This one's pretty key
Absolutely.
because, it really highlights how legal responsibilities, they can just kind of pop up,
Right.
even if you haven't like formally put anything in writing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at its core, Seaview is really asking a question that I think a lot of people in, these shared communities kind of grapple with, right? Like, can you actually be like legally required to pay for these community services if you're not like officially a member of the HOA and you say, hey, I don't even use all those fancy amenities.
Right.
You know, so it really digs into those unspoken rules that kind of govern how we live together.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So to set the stage, right? We're talking Fire Island, New York,
Yeah.
right? This kind of charming, pretty seasonal community, right? Called Seaview,
Right.
with, a few hundred homes, something like 330.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that Seaview wasn't just like a bunch of random houses, right? They had this like really well-established HOA
Yeah.
that played a really big role. And I mean, we're not just talking about like the social club aspect here, right? They owned and maintained all the essential infrastructure, the roads, the walkways, those beautiful beaches, those like shared spaces that really like make the community what it is. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. And they provided like a whole bunch of services that, really contribute to the lifestyle there.
Oh, for
I
sure.
mean, they had a community manager making sure things were running smooth,
Right.
a dedicated space for a summer doctor, which, that's crucial for access to healthcare, right?
Right.
Lifeguard facilities,
Yeah.
keeping those beaches safe, even some police presence.
Yeah.
And, of course, they had some recreational facilities too
Yeah.
for folks who wanted to use them. And, the kind of the stars of our deep dive today are the Williams family. They own seven properties in Seaview.
Wow, seven.
Yeah. And for quite a while, for 8 years, they just refused to pay their HOA fees.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what was their thinking there?
Well, their reasoning was pretty straightforward,
Okay.
and it's something we hear pretty often. They weren't like officially members
Right.
of the association, and they said, we don't even use the rec facilities, so why should we have to pay for them?
Okay, interesting. So it sounds like they were trying to like draw a line, between what they used and what they paid for.
Right, exactly. But here's the thing, right? This is a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Before they even bought their first property in Seaview, back in 63, the Williams family, they lived in a neighboring community.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't like totally new to Fire Island and how these communities work.
Right, they weren't just coming in blind. They had some context.
Exactly, yeah. And that familiarity becomes like a key element in the
I
case
see.
because it sets up the big legal question here, which is, could the Seaview Association, could they legally force these non-member property owners
Right.
to pay up, even though there wasn't a written agreement that said they had to?
Right. So that gets to the heart of like, how much did they know and when did they know it? Okay.
Exactly. So let's kind of get into the legal nitty-gritty here.
Okay.
The big question is, can you be legally obligated to cough up those HOA fees
Right.
when you haven't actually signed a contract saying you'll do that?
Yeah. And that takes us to this really important legal concept called an implied in fact contract, right?
Okay.
And this is a cornerstone of contract law, and it's about understanding that, agreements, they don't always have to be written down in black and white.
Right.
Sometimes they're formed just through like how people act and the whole situation surrounding those actions.
So it's more about like an understanding based on actions and context.
Exactly. Yeah. So like think about hailing a cab, right? You don't like whip out a contract and sign it before you hop in. But just by you hailing the cab and the driver stopping for you, there's this like implied agreement that you're going to pay for the ride, right? So it's your behavior and the circumstances that create this like mutual understanding and obligation.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's basically an implied in fact contract in action.
Okay, so it's different from an express contract where everything's like spelled out and
Exactly.
you sign on the dotted line.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more like we both know what's up here.
Right, got it. So in Seaview case, the association, they argued that by buying property in Seaview, right, knowing how the community worked, knowing the services that the HOA provided, the Williams family had basically, like, implicitly accepted that they were going to pay their share.
Right, like they were in on the deal even if they didn't sign a specific paper.
Exactly, yeah.
And what did the court say about that?
Well, in the end, the court sided with the association.
Okay.
And their main reasoning wasn't about whether the Williams family, you know, used the swimming pool or whatever.
Right.
It was more about the idea that these assessments, they cover the collective benefit.
Okay.
Right? And the overall cost of keeping the whole community running smoothly.
Got it.
And that includes stuff that everyone benefits from, right? Like well-maintained streets, access to the beach, which, you know, that bumps up property values for everyone.
Of course.
Just the overall safety and desirability of the whole Seaview area.
Yeah, so it's about that shared value that everyone gets, even if they don't use every single thing.
Exactly, yeah. And that brings up the non-user argument that the Williams family made, right?
Yeah.
They basically said, look, we don't use the rec center, the tennis courts, whatever, so why should we have to chip in?
Right. Right.
So what did the court say about that, like from a bigger picture perspective?
Well, for the most part, the court wasn't buying that non-user argument.
Okay.
And they pointed to this idea of shared or collective benefits, right?
Hmm.
So even if you don't personally use every single thing the HOA offers, you still get the perks of living in a well-maintained and attractive community, right?
Right.
Things like safe streets, a nice beach, even having a doctor around.
Yeah.
Those things can indirectly boost your property value and just make life better for everyone in Seaview.
So it's like, even if you don't swim, you still benefit from having a lifeguard there.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also tied to this thing called the free rider problem, which courts generally don't like.
Yeah.
It's basically when someone tries to reap the benefits of something without, you know, sharing the cost.
Right. Like taking advantage of the system.
Exactly. And the courts are like, nope. Not fair.
Right, right.
It's about fairness and making sure these community associations can actually, you know, keep things going financially.
Yeah, if everyone to just opt out, the whole system would fall apart.
Exactly. So they have to kind of draw a line somewhere.
Right, right. Now, the court seemed to put a lot of weight on this idea of knowledge.
Right.
Right. Like, did the Williams family understand what the HOA was all about when they bought their properties?
Right.
How did the court figure that out? Because it seems pretty crucial.
It was absolutely central to their decision.
Okay.
They looked at a few key things. First, there was that whole deal about them living in the neighborhood before.
Right, right.
So the court was basically like, come on, you knew how these Fire Island communities work.
Right, you can't play dumb.
Exactly. Then they looked at all the visible stuff, you know, like the lifeguard stations, the well-kept common areas, even just Seaview's reputation as a place with an active HOA. Mm. And that falls under constructive notice.
Okay.
It's like if something's so obvious, you know, like out in the open, the law assumes you know about it.
Got it.
Just by living there, seeing all that, you've got constructive notice.
So if there are signs all over saying, welcome to Seaview, run by the HOA, you can't really say you had no clue.
Exactly, yeah. And then the third thing was that the Williams family didn't just buy one property, right? Yeah,
they got seven.
They bought a whole bunch over time.
Right.
And each purchase kind of reinforced the idea that they were on board with the whole deal.
Like they were knowingly getting deeper into it.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so the court was like, come on, you knew what you were getting into.
Pretty much, yeah.
Got it. For someone out there thinking about buying property in a community with an HOA today, what does all this mean for them? Like, how is this old case still relevant?
Well, Seaview has had a really big impact on how HOAs work.
Okay.
And how the law looks at, you know, what owners are responsible for. It made it a lot easier for HOAs to enforce those fees, even if there isn't a signed agreement from every owner.
I see.
So for buyers, the message is clear.
Ah.
Do your homework before you buy.
Okay.
Don't just look at the house. You got to understand the whole community.
So it's not enough to just be like, oh, I didn't know about the HOA, so I don't have to pay.
Yeah. Claiming ignorance probably won't fly in court.
Right, right. So basically know what you're getting into.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Were there any other, like, specific legal principles that this case kind of highlighted?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
One big one was the difference between a proportionate share and reasonable value.
Okay.
The Williams family seemed to think they should only pay for what they used, like
right.
their reasonable value, right?
Right.
But the court said, no, you got to pay your share of the total cost
right.
for the whole community, whether you use the pool or not.
So it's not like a buffet where you just pick and choose what you pay for.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about contributing to the greater good, you know?
Got it. Mm-hmm. So to wrap it all up, what's the big takeaway from Seaview?
Well, the bottom line is, if you buy property in a community with an established HOA, you're pretty much agreeing to help pay for it.
Okay.
Even if you don't officially join or use every single amenity, as long as you knew about the HOA when you bought the place.
Got it. So as you're, you know, learning about the law or maybe even thinking about buying a property, keep Seaview in mind.
Yeah, it's a good one to know.
It shows how courts figure out those unwritten understandings.
Definitely.
And the responsibilities that come with being part of a community.
Right, because even if it's not written down, it doesn't mean it's not a rule, you know.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, with all the different ways people live together these days, how will these ideas about implied contracts and what counts as knowledge,
right,
how will that play out in the future?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge question.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.